grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior Jesus Christ. God's word for us on this night before our National Day of Thanksgiving is taken from the Old Testament reading in the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. In verse 2, the Lord speaks through Moses. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Friends in Christ, there is a problem with Thanksgiving. No, I don't mean the actual day itself, even though it's gone through many changes since 1621. In fact, it wasn't until Abraham Lincoln issued his proclamation in 1863 that the holiday settled into its last Thursday of November slot. Nevertheless, there is a problem with Thanksgiving. No, I don't really mean what has become of this celebration in 21st century America, even though Black Friday store fist fights speak for themselves. There is a problem with Thanksgiving, and I don't mean the meal itself, even though preparing for the feast can be stressful. Conversations around the table sometimes can be complicated. The real problem of Thanksgiving, the real root problem of thankfulness, is pride. Pride in the human heart prevents the giving of thanks. So, tonight, our first item of business is to check for telltale signs that pride is creeping into our thoughts and motivations. Now, there's also a problem with the problem. Pride can have such power over us that we don't even realize it. In other words, I can be so prideful that I don't believe I have a pride problem. It's far better to have a problem with pride and know it than to be blind to how proud you really are. But in any case, our only way out of this trap is through the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about pride? In the book of Proverbs alone, we're told that pride brings a person down, that the Lord will tear down the house of the proud, and that a prideful spirit leads to destruction, disgrace, and punishment. Pride prevents me from giving thanks to God because I'm too busy thanking myself. One way to tell if pride is taking root in your heart is to see how much comparing you do. Now, here's what I mean. Pride loves to compare. And this can be very, very subtle. It can almost be something that happens on the subconscious level. But pride judges worth by comparing. My home is in a better location. My car is newer. My office is larger. I make more money. My kids behave better. My grades are better. I'm more popular. My friends are more popular, therefore, I'm better. Pride compares. Pride is obsessed with self. It's always worried about how does this make me look? Pride wants to be better than someone and really anyone else. Now, what is really harmful is a religious pride that does pretty much the same thing. Feelings of, I'm more spiritual, or I'm more faithful, or I'm more dedicated, are nothing more than religious pride. And religious pride is a critical problem. The danger of religious pride is twofold. It either thinks too much of the self, I'm so good, God has to bless me. Or it thinks too little of the self. I'm so bad, God could never accept me. But do you see that both are forms of religious pride? Both assume that what I do matters more than what God does. So what does this have to do with Thanksgiving? Everything. Pride prevents the giving of thanks to God. Pride does some horrible things. It can convince me that I'm really the one who deserves the credit for my success. So what would I thank God for? Pride can also convince me that there's something wrong with God because He isn't blessing me the way I think I deserve. It can also convince me that I shouldn't even darken God's door because I've been such a bad person. But all of these are variations on a theme. I'm in the driver's seat. I'm the captain of my soul. What I do matters more than what God does. But God loves us too much to let us think that way for long. And that may be the most terrifying good news you will ever hear. One example, tonight's Old Testament reading. Through Moses, God is speaking to the Israelites. They're right on the verge of entering the promised land. And he says this, "You shall remember the whole way that the Lord God led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart." God knew that his people needed to learn humility. So he let them endure some pretty harsh conditions. And the way they handled those conditions revealed what was in their hearts. Has God ever let you go through a time of wilderness wandering? And if so, what did it reveal? Did it help you learn humility? The passage continues, "And he humbled you," there's that word again, "and let you hunger, and fed you with manna, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Now, a couple things here. In order to learn humility, God may let you go without. He let the Israelites hunger and thirst.
and hurt and wonder what was going on. But then He provides. And what He provides is beyond our ability to imagine or create. Here in Deuteronomy, that's manna, the bread from heaven. And that's a lesson in humility, isn't it? God saying, I'm providing you with a solution that you know nothing about, and there's no way you can duplicate it. And the lesson behind the lesson, man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Our greatest appetite should be for God's word. But this too is a lesson in humility, because if I live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, something's got to give. Eventually, God's going to say something that I don't like too much. And what then? Pride would say, I don't care too much for that, so I'm going to go my own way. Humility says, not my will, Father, but yours be done. And that is the hinge on which everything turns. Returning to God, believing in Him, living a thankful life, all depends on me being humbled out of my pride. As you've heard, God will sometimes allow you to go through experiences that will knock the pride right out of you. And sometimes that's exactly what's needed. But you won't really accept the wisdom of humility, or you won't voluntarily move in the direction of humility until you come face to face with the person who embodies humility. You see, the word of the Lord tells us that there is a person who was with God from the beginning of time. And though this person was in fact God, He did not demand or cling to His rights as God. He made Himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, He obediently humbled Himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. And because of this, God raised Him up to the heights of heaven and gave Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that this Jesus is Lord. Do you know why Jesus humbled Himself to the point of dying a criminal's death on a cross? It was to do what I could never do. It was to live the life that I am too weak to live. He died the death I pridefully would never admit I needed to die. He came to exchange His life for mine, His life for yours. He came to exchange heaven for hell. Not to make Himself look good, but because He loves you that much. He wants heaven for you that much. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, what's been done to you. If you believe that Jesus humbled Himself for you, that what He did counts for you, if you are moved to say, Father God, receive me and accept me, not because of what I have done, but because of what Jesus has done. At that moment, you have moved out of pride and into faith. Faith in a humble hero. And with this faith, you can know without a doubt that when God the Father looks at you, it's with the same look of love and approval and affection that He gives His own Son. Now there's something to be thankful for. Would you please pray with me? Holy Father, humble us out of our pride so that we may receive with great thanks and joy the one who did not grasp onto his rights as God, but humbled himself to the point of death, so that we could belong to you forever. No matter what we are facing tonight, no matter what lies before us, may this, the knowledge of Jesus as our humble servant, Savior, and Lord, move us to the deepest thanks. Amen.